Now we know that it's all about remote control with respect to electronics. From your desktop computer to possibility of a voting machine, they've got wireless technology, vehicles that can operate autonomously, of course, and remote controlling them. And then fast forwarding to our conversation just a couple of weeks ago, the possibility of tapping into electronics on life-saving equipment such as ventilators was a frightening prospect. But I want you to say this responsibly. And I say responsibly, you're an investigative journalist that factualizes what we're about to talk about here. Is there a possibility that equipment such as ventilators could be remotely controlled through the technology they have on board?
Yes, there's a possibility that that equipment could be accessed by bad actors. Yes. Just from the research that I've done, I mean, they've even publicly stated it. You know, what's interesting is that the CISA essentially came out and they did a press release basically giving the public notice that there was a bad ALOC vulnerability that affected BlackBerry's QNX operating systems, which also included their operating systems inside of their hospital equipment, including ventilators. And what was really suspicious about this was that this vulnerability placed during the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic.
They called you Lady Luck. But there is room for doubt.
Yes.
At times you have
Lady Luck. I don't know why I selected that song. I'm just being just a goofball as I normally am. For those of you on the live stream, thank you for your patience. I'm going to tell a short story. Shoot, it's been a long time coming that my next guest and I get together, but I'm going to tell you it's out of absolute necessity because of the following. We met at a tent revival, which was a beautiful thing because we were surrounded by a bunch of godly patriots. That was a great thing. But through our conversation, we had a conversation about an important report, as she typically does as a great investigative journalist, on one particular topic that I was completely unaware of. Now, I'm a big fan of the work that that Millie Weaver, my next guest, she's also a producer of a documentary, an epic documentary that you guys will learn about here. But let's set that aside for a moment. It went viral. A lot of people were well-educated. She ended up, I would say, by the deep state, being scooped up, and they attempted to destroy her life as a result of her work with Shadowgate. But aside from that, she continued on. She came out from that situation, moved on, and she was investigating a particular topic related to BlackBerry and QNX. And I said, oh my goodness. And I had learned this at the tent revival. And I had no way of knowing what she was talking about until I had spoken with her then. I went to take a look at the video. I had seen portions of the video, but I didn't understand the significance of it. I said, you have to come on. We have to tell our listening audience. But Millie Weaver joins me right now. Millie, thank you very much for your patience with our little technical glitches. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Pete. I'm happy to be here today to talk about this. It really needs to get out there. This information is so key.
Yeah, it really, really is. And didn't I say, Millie, to you, when we were speaking, I'm like, I have to bring you on. I don't think I'd ever, we met each other in passing at a couple of events, and, you know, I didn't want to get into your stuff, and I appreciated your work, and we've always shared your work. It's kind of like I've had you on the show all along by relaying your work. But I said, we have to bring you on. We have to revisit this particular topic. And there was a video on your YouTube channel, and it was titled, Will This Get Me Killed? Because it is bombshell information. Now, I'm going to turn this over to you. I want you to set the pace here, and we'll play a couple of clips. I've got some time markers where we can go to it, because it has to do with what a lot of people don't know about, and that's Michael Hastings, where does that story come in? He's a former, because he died, former Rolling Stones, an investigative journalist, a well-published author of many articles, investigative pieces. He ended up dying as a result of what I investigated back at the time. I was in Los Angeles. Michael Hastings' vehicle was remotely controlled and smashed into a tree. Now, why don't you, what made you decide to get into this? And I know the answer to it, but I want you to tell the story about this, because you entered into the foray of this technology that you've been trying to develop. Your family has been doing this, but what made you go down this path to discover the BlackBerry code that is used to remotely control equipment?
Okay, so if you guys don't know, which Pete knows now, QUX, it's an electronic company that my husband is very involved in, and I've been really pushing it a lot and letting people know about it. It's a disruptive technology. It's its own electronics and operating system. It's next level. I mean, I think Pete could kind of speak a little bit to what he's learned about QUX. But what was crazy is how we even came across what was going on with BlackBerry is a really weird story. Okay, so for some odd reason, BlackBerry has an operating system called BlackBerry QNX. Okay. But these are operating systems inside of like vehicles and electronic devices. And apparently they challenged QUX's trademark. And that was kind of what made us even look into the direction. That's when I started looking into the direction of BlackBerry at all. I'm like, what's going on here? Why would big old BlackBerry be so concerned with little old QUX over here? What's going on? And as I started looking more and more and researching about BlackBerry, I actually found something pretty disturbing. I found that all throughout the WikiLeaks emails, you see all this discussion about BlackBerry QNX's operating system in relation to Michael Hastings and also in relation to vehicles and vehicle vulnerabilities. So many people, I mean, we can't say this outright, right? Because we've got to be a little bit careful here. But there are many people who speculate that Michael Hastings' vehicle was remotely hacked or remotely accessed and then driven into a pole. And that is what essentially led to his death. And if you guys don't know, Michael Hastings, apparently he was on the verge of a really big report, and he was going to be exposing military generals and really putting a big stain on the MIC, the military industrial complex. So it's interesting to see how BlackBerry has these operating systems inside of vehicles. But, you know, Pete and I, we started sparking up a conversation, Pete, if you remember, at the tent revival. We started talking about the pandemic, right? And you were talking a little bit about the ventilators. That's the subject that came up. And I was like, you know, Pete, did you know that BlackBerry QNX's operating system is also inside of hospital ventilators? And so that was very interesting.
Well,
right?
Actually, your words were, because I was talking about investigations I was doing on CARES Act fraud and stuff like that. And I mentioned ventilators, and you're like, oh, I do not want to talk about ventilators. And I said, why? Because I just did a report. It's just so horrifying. And nobody is understanding how significant and important that report was, you know, through the conversation. That's what you said. And I'm like, okay, tell me how. And then you shared with me how, you know, of course, let's go back to Michael Hastings real quick. When I was in Southern California, just the way the streets run, believe it or not, this was really, really important. I understood it because I drove those streets. If you drive in a certain direction, there are hills that, and you have to have these drainage ditches depending on which way the streets go. Basically, you got the mountains and then you've got these big drainage ditches. So if your vehicle is traveling from west to east or east to west, you're not going to be going at a high rate of speed at all. You're just not, because of the rut. So you're going to slow down going through an intersection. It just so happened we watched Michael Hastings go, you know, at a high rate of speed, 120 miles an hour. I'm like, nobody is going to go in that direction at a high rate of speed. Maybe up and down, you know, north to south. But there's no way that anybody, because if you're familiar with those ruts, you're always going to slow down knowing that they're going to be there. So that was the first anomaly. And then through the investigation, we discovered that that vehicle was traveling out of control. The driver obviously had no control over it, and he smashed into a tree. And then we found out, and I'm going to ask you this question, because Shadowgate, I think there were some elements there that crossed over into Shadowgate as to the possibly the influence operations that they were running in the Middle East. What do you think Michael Hastings had knowledge of? Were you able to determine that, what he was about to release in his report?
I don't necessarily know. I had to do with, it was going to expose a particular general, and that it was definitely going to, it was going to be bad for the MIC. It was going to be bad for the deep state, and they did not want it getting out. So it's just also convenient how oftentimes you see reporters or different people saying, hey, I've got breaking information. I've got this big story that I'm working on. And then next thing you know, there's an attempt on their life, or they get mysteriously killed, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's very mysterious how that all happens. And so I just know from my own personal experience when I was arrested, literally while putting out a breaking report, that to me it seemed like there was a little bit of parallels there. Obviously, I was not killed, but I was arrested, and they did try to take me out and discredit my name, take my children from me. But we're seeing this across the board with conservatives. We're seeing how many people who identify as conservative, or really just are people that will go against the establishment, those people are being targeted by these various law enforcement agencies. They're being targeted by the FBI and even by their local police, and oftentimes by Democrat prosecutors. So this is a serious problem that we're dealing with right now. And just to kind of loop it in here, I think the big picture here is that we have a government, especially our intelligence agencies, that have just completely spun out of control. That, I mean, it's just an absolute mess now. And it's like they're not even caring that there is a constitution. They're not even acknowledging the rights of American citizens anymore. It's just gotten really ugly.
It has. And what we're going to do, if you don't mind, I'm going to play just a brief excerpt from that movie. Actually, if we could do the first one on Hastings, Primo, let's play that one first. I want everyone to just take a look at this and just breathe in the information. Let's go to that right now, that first clip.
QNX had received some interest from the CIA, which was revealed in the WikiLeaks Vault 7 releases.
Wait, the same QNX that's in the WikiLeaks Vault 7 is the same QNX that's coming after Quix? You know, there was a controversy over Michael Hastings not too long ago and a car blowing up.
Investigative reporter Michael Hastings died in a fiery crash in Hollywood back in June. Police said it was an accident. But some security experts believe there may have been something more sinister going on, and researchers are worried that cars are now vulnerable to computer hackers.
I'm not sure if you remember this case, but there was a guy named Michael Hastings. Michael Hastings was a journalist and doing an article about a general.
It is not just conspiracy theorists. A counterterrorism expert tells CBS 2 News, we may never know what really happened in that crash.
And they got real comfortable around him. And he reported a lot of the stuff that they said and did that maybe they thought that he probably wouldn't have reported on.
Michael was working on a number of stories, one of which was centered on now CIA Director John Brennan.
Comes back, the general was forced to resign. He was a beloved general, and Michael Hastings was in fearing for his life.
What we see is a car going across the screen. You're going to see three explosions at the very end.
He wound up driving his car into a tree going like 120 miles an hour, and the car exploded, and the engine went flying. And people that were the conspiracy theorists were saying they believed that that car had been rigged to work autonomously, or that someone from some third party decided to drive that guy's car into a tree at 120 miles an hour. Do you think that in 2013 that would have been possible?
Do you know what car it was?
Mercedes. I think it was an S-Class.
C250.
See? C-class?
Yes.
This is the car that's showcasing all of QNX's hard work. This one has a huge touchscreen, a digital dash, an always-on mobile data connection, and other smart controls which make access to all that technology easy.
I'm just asking you because you're actually an expert. I mean, it's very rare that you get an expert in autonomous vehicles and you get to run a conspiracy theory by them to see if they can just put a stamp on it being possible or not.
Let me just say that Alex Jones is officially not allowed to say MIT scientist says, which is exactly what he's going to try to do.
And hey, maybe it wasn't Toonce's fault that he crashed the car. Maybe he just had QNX's operating system in it. Remind me not to get behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Okay, so I want to revisit this and remind everybody, you know, when 9/11 happened, the thought of remote-controlled planes, for instance, was not even a possibility. I mean, we couldn't even fathom that. You're probably too young to recall that. But shortly thereafter, all of a sudden, drone technology was accelerated. And then the thoughts of even overpowering a plane, that have planes that have been hijacked, there were discussions about that. And I'm somewhat of an aviation buff because I came from the air wing in the military. So I understand these concepts of remote controlling planes. Believe it or not, it was top secret technology back in the late 80s, bringing F-18s in to aircraft carriers. So this remote control technology after 9/11 with drones, and then the possibility of doing that with vehicles. And now let's go to present day. Now we know that it's all about remote control with respect to electronics, from your desktop computer to possibility of a voting machine. They've got wireless technology, vehicles that can operate autonomously, of course, and remote controlling them. And then fast forwarding to our conversation just a couple weeks ago, the possibility of tapping into electronics on life-saving equipment such as ventilators was a frightening prospect. But I want you to say this responsibly. And I say responsibly, you're an investigative journalist that factualizes what we're about to talk about here. Is there a possibility that equipment such as ventilators could be remotely controlled through the technology they have on board?
Yes, there's a possibility that that equipment could be accessed by bad actors. Yes. Just from the research that I've done, I mean, they've even publicly stated it. You know, what's interesting is that the CISA essentially came out and they did a press release basically giving the public notice that there was a bad ALOC vulnerability that affected BlackBerry's QNX operating systems, which also included their operating systems inside of their hospital equipment, including ventilators. And what was really suspicious about this was that what it said, this vulnerability place during the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic. And it was weird because it wasn't even reported until months and months later, like basically as though they were trying to hide that there was a vulnerability. And so they finally put out the press release in August of 2021. But, you know, you would think that that would be nationwide news. You would think that this would be all over the place. You know, one thing I do remember, though, Pete, is I do remember, and I don't know if you guys saw those videos on TikTok and on the internet where you had all these doctors and nurses coming out complaining about the ventilators. And you saw some of these nurses pointing the finger at their fellow nurses or fellow doctors, claiming that they weren't being used properly, that they were being misused. Well, how do we know that that was actual human error as far as the nurse or the doctor? I mean, how do we know that that wasn't a bad actor inside these systems? I mean, that's just something that we don't know. I mean, we saw that there was a potential with this bad ALEC vulnerability, but, you know, I really would like more information on this. And I think the American people deserve more information about just how much that vulnerability affected those hospital ventilators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I recall hearing online that, I mean, if you got put onto, we were having the discussion about remdesivir causing renal failure, your lungs fill up with, you know, with fluids. And then once you get to the ventilators, there was this huge concern because all these people were dying. I mean, once you got to a ventilator, I was convinced based on what I was hearing is that there was a high, you know, incidence of death. It was exceptionally high. And they were complaining about it, that these ventilators were blowing out people's lungs. I think I heard some terminology in that regard, but I don't know if it came from doctors, but those were the rumors. But there was a high death rate when you got to a ventilator, wasn't there?
Right. I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of cases of patients suffering from barotrauma and essentially having their lungs damaged from ventilators. It is very interesting that this took place during that time period. But what's also interesting is when you kind of follow the trail and you look up articles and you look up news stories, you see how originally when the COVID pandemic first happened and you saw all these people on ventilators, their numbers for survival once on a ventilator were really bad in the beginning. But then later on, as the pandemic continued, like, for example, now those numbers are much better, meaning if you're on a ventilator, you're more likely to survive. Now, I don't know what that says exactly. I'm not going to say it, but I think people can kind of put it together in their mind and ask those questions for themselves. But at the end of the day, I think that these are questions that I think BlackBerry QNX should owe the people and the public.
Yeah, and you know, and also, if you don't mind, I do want to play. I want you to hear from BlackBerry executives' own words. This one segment just bowled me over, and it should everybody else. And then we're going to have the discussion about why this information should be like 24/7 news. Obviously, it's not going to be on the mainstream media. But go ahead, let's play this clip, Primo, if you would.
Shortly.
The QNX vulnerability also has the Biden administration scrambling to avoid major fallout. The vulnerabilities in this code could have significant ripple effects across all industries, from automotive to healthcare, which rely heavily on software. Not only did they list the QNX car platform as vulnerable, but the QNX operating system for medical devices as well. What kind of medical devices? No, it couldn't be. Are you kidding me? Wait, so you're saying that the ventilators used in the hospitals have QNX's operating system in them, and that there was this vulnerability to hackers in the middle of a pandemic when the ventilators were being widely used on people as a treatment against the supposed pandemic? Are you kidding me?
We're into the device and it has this active network that's on the hospital's care network. So not only can Graham affect the health of the patient connected to this pump, he can now use this powerful computer to explore the rest of the care network and possibly take over other parts of the system and affect all the patients in the hospital.
You literally can't make it up.
No, you
he
can't.
Has,
you cannot.
Let's written stop. Some malware.
Let's stop right there. You cannot make this up. Now, I don't want you to make any inferences, but I'm going to, in front of our listening audience, say that I don't trust the system benefiting from the deaths that are going to cause everybody, for instance, the deaths. Are they targeting individuals that may be laying there? I know how they work. I know how the media works. The media wants that ticker. They want me so scared that I'm going to run down to, you know, to CVS and put out my arm and get vaccinated. It wasn't necessarily, in my opinion, to target those individuals. It's to scare me into going to get vaccinated. I don't trust them. It's all been about fear. It's all about been about, you know, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I was shaking in my boots because I understand bioweapons. It's all to scare us into compliance. So that is the inference here that I'm going to
make. That's exactly right. I mean, and yeah. Not only that, Pete, but if you notice at the beginning of the pandemic, they were pressuring Trump to declare a state of emergency,
mm-hmm.
right? The media was pressuring him. They were doing a lot of fear mongering. They were really showing these scary clips out of China of people just collapsing. They were showing clips of people being hooked up to these ventilators in hospitals. And they were saying, look at how high the death rate is. Therefore, Trump, you need to shut it down. You need to declare a state of emergency. You need to do the 14 days to slow the spread, right? And then that really allowed for the state of emergency to be declared and this to be treated as a health crisis, a pandemic, right? Where they initially thought that the death rate was much higher with that original data they had,
mm-hmm.
only then to continue to push for these pandemic measures to be in place. And then they used the COVID pandemic to essentially reorganize how our elections are run. Okay, so in 2020, Mark Zuckerberg injected $400 million of money into the swing states. And what was his justification? What did he say that money was being injected for? For COVID-19, in order to make sure that polling locations could hold safe, clean, healthy elections.
Blah, blah, blah.
Free of COVID, right?
Yeah, right.
So they used COVID to do that, but then also they used COVID to do all the massive amounts of mail-in ballots, okay? Mm. And then to count the votes for days after the election night. Mm. So a lot of what they did with COVID-19 was they essentially allowed the local legislators and secretary of states of their individual states to kind of ignore election laws that typically needed to be upheld. Even the election observers, they had to stand really far back from watching the votes being counted. So they changed our entire election based on a pandemic, which apparently relied heavily on ventilators for treatment throughout the pandemic. And apparently during the beginning of this pandemic, there was a bad ALEC vulnerability inside the QNX operating systems, inside the ventilators.
Yeah, my goodness, Millie, I'm not just saying this. I think you know that I'm sincere because I have watched you. Shadowgate, when that thing was released, it was a bombshell video, and I knew about the influence operations. I knew about the technologies that they were employing to, you know, through Facebook and Twitter to manipulate and sway the minds of the populace. I understood all that technology. When you released Shadowgate, I'm watching you as I've been a fan of your work in investigating this stuff. You went from Shadowgate, came out of that, of course, that situation there, and then you started digging as an investigative journalist into these operators that were trying to impact the election. I mean, here you are chasing them around the internet. I mean, essentially, I mean, really, I'm learning a lot from your reports because I think you had access to some of their meetings. You published the Transition Integrity Project. They were telegraphing exactly how the election was going to go. They had their communist operatives that, by the way, one of whom was on that, I think, the Sunshine...
The Sunrise Movement.
Sunrise. These are communists. These are Marxists, and they were pre-planning and organizing this takedown. But it's a multi-pronged effort from lawfare to, of course, these nonprofits, and then you mix in COVID. Are you watching this multifaceted attack? Because you've covered multiple angles of it very, very well, from Shadowgate to the Sunrise Movement to now the remote control technology and possibly inflating the death rates in order to cause people to coerce them to get vaccinated. Are you amazed at your own work?
You know, I'm very amazed at it. It's one of those things where we initially were thinking about, let's see if we can try to get someone inside Bernie's apparatus, because we kind of speculated that Bernie would be the 2020 candidate, which he probably would have had there not been election issues in the Democrats' own primaries. I mean, they just will not let that guy win. But so we then decided, okay, that wasn't very fruitful. Let's kind of go into this Sunrise Movement group, which is a very green climate alarmist radical group that was endorsed by Bernie Sanders, also endorsed by leaders like AOC, Chuck Schumer, et cetera. AOC actually regularly would appear in their Zoom chats with the leadership of Sunrise Movement. So our person essentially went deep inside and had to gain rapport in order to get to the level that they were to be part of some of these Zoom chat meetings. But finally getting up there and seeing the Zoom chats where literal government employees are working with the leaders of these radical left-wing groups, okay? So it wasn't just Sunrise Movement that we captured. There were meetings where Sunrise Movement leadership, BLM leadership, Extinction Rebellion, Shutdown DC, many other Antifa organizations were all present in the Zoom chats together, and they were plotting and talking about taking over government buildings, okay? Mm-hmm. And this was in October of 2020.
That's right.
And they were talking about, they're going to be people there, and they're going to take over the buildings, and we should let them, and we should help them. And they were instructing each other on using Hong Kong-style, Arab Spring-style protest tactics, dressing in black bloc, and essentially slowing down government response as well. So they were these radical elements that were the same, some of the same groups that were responsible for the George Floyd riots, okay, where they literally burned down cities and were having Zoom chats after the fact and during saying, woohoo, yay, burning down buildings is a legitimate and powerful form of protest. Okay. Literally, their words, not mine. And these groups were working with people in our government agencies. So Department of Homeland Security, SISA employees, one of which Laura Robb, who, remember, who actually put the bad Alec vulnerability notification out? It was SISA, right? But this wasn't put out till way after the height of the pandemic. So it makes you wonder, right? But then when you see these employees of DHS and SISA coordinating with these left-wing activists and them literally talking and telling other government employees how to use tools like bureaucratic slowdown, get sick days, take administrative leave, essentially not send emails that probably you could have responded to quicker, right? They talk about how to bureaucratically slow down certain things so they can get through their agenda, right?
Right.
And so that was one of the things they talked about, but they also talked about no matter what the election outcome would have been in 2020, they were going to refuse to hand over the keys of government to Trump. They were going to essentially, I mean, they were setting up a Lithuanian government in waiting. They literally had every different branch of the government agencies with their own people that they had sitting there in wait. It was pretty insane.
Mm-hmm.
People also working as senior executive service level employees.
Right.
Like Maria Stefan, who has a background in the Ukrainian uprising and essentially putting on uprisings in foreign countries.
Color revolutions. Yeah.
Yeah. Color revolution. Okay. People in just other agencies. And we've been working with another group that did the True the Vote stuff. And they've been helping us run some of the backgrounds on these people because we got so much and we really need a team of people to help kind of vet it all, if that makes any sense.
Like, sure.
See where all these strings go. And what we've been finding is that a lot of the high level activists in these radical left wing groups are also like married to FBI agents, or their spouses are high in government positions.
You got politicians listed on the DSA website, the Democrat Socialist Association. DSA, I mean, these are that's a leftist socialist organization with politicians listed on it, correct?
Yeah. And you know, something else that was crazy is we actually had video of them talking in one of their Zoom chats, these left wing groups plotting and saying during the hashtag Me Too things that were going on, they had a Zoom where a bunch of them were all actually talking about how they themselves were sexually assaulted by high ranking Democrats. One of them even alluded to a sexual assault from Joe Biden. But what they were talking about was they were counseling them all on how we're not going to use that in a hashtag Me Too campaign, which the Republicans will only use, right? We're going to instead use that as a way to gain power and as a way to essentially blackmail Biden into putting some of their people in his cabinet and in his administration. And after Biden got in, he actually did put one of the people high in their organization in his administration pertaining to climate. So it is very interesting how this all works, if that makes sense. When you see these organizations and how they essentially gain power over the establishment Democrats, but then if you look and see really closely, you start to find out that the establishment, the government employees, all these people are essentially grooming young high school kids, grooming a bunch of just protest activists into engaging in actual subversion and treason.
Yes.
And what's alarming is we also have video of them talking specifically about January 6th. Now, I came out with this information right before the 2020 election, and they had said that they were going to start their activities election night going until Inauguration Day. Well, I kind of really focused in on election night, right? Because that was what was coming the soonest, right? And I was sounding the alarm. But what I went back and looked through all the Zoom footage, I actually found a discussion where they were talking specifically, they mentioned January 6th, and they essentially say, are we going to move forward with our plan, the scenario that we've worked out, because they were essentially modeling out scenarios, and whether or not Biden won. And they said yes. And that was them talking about their capital disruption activities on January 6th. So, I mean, what we have is pretty huge.
It is. And let me just tie this in a big, huge bow here. We've got 4 minutes left here. I'd keep it longer. And I want to bring you back on. We have to continue these discussions because all of your entire body of work is, I have followed your work and dug into, for instance, the Transition Integrity Project. I saw their pre-planning. I actually received a tip from a DOJ person in October of 2020 that they were organizing the ballot harvesting communication with the nonprofits and all those people through the gaming chat rooms. I published a report. The DOJ was frustrated because these things weren't being prosecuted. Here's my question to you. The investigation that you did on the Sunrise Movement, the videos that I saw that were on your channel, did you work with law enforcement to say, hey, what's going on here? This is, I mean, everything that you're accusing of us now, they were actually doing it back then, were they not?
Oh, that's
on steroids.
Point there. Yep. Your question is amazing, Pete. I'm just in awe of it because it's spot on. I actually was in communication with DHS, particularly about their employee who was in the Zoom chats engaging in illegal activity, essentially, because she was using her government capacity to engage in activism and plotting to overthrow your government or do things like that. Not a good thing. Okay. So I was communicating with DHS. I was communicating with the Secret Service. I was also communicating with DC Metro Police. So our person who infiltrated, they were actually sending everything to the FBI's tip lines all throughout without video scrubbed, just like, here you go, here you go, here you go, there it is. And so they can't say that they didn't have any tips or they didn't have any knowledge that there was a threat or that there was potential threat and that there were groups that were plotting to take over government buildings. Because I was...
Oh. You froze there for a second.
I had evidence that there were radical groups. Oh, sorry. I was shouting from the rooftops, letting all these law enforcement agencies know that there were radical groups, protest groups, plotting to take over government buildings. And their ArcGIS map that they had literally redlined out the Capitol. That was their thing. It's like a big map of D.C., and they have a big, giant red square around the Capitol.
Here's my question to you, and it's a big one. Had you at any point in time been contacted about all the information you were providing to the investigators in advance of inauguration, what led up to essentially January 6th, that all these people that were talking about agitating, taking over buildings, and causing what happened on January 6th, they were outside influencers, and you know they were on the ground. We saw them. They were not MAGA people. You know, there were quote unquote Antifa, but a lot of these people who were sitting in these chat rooms were already pre-planning doing exactly what took place on January 6th. Had you ever been contacted by the January 6th committee to talk about the evidence that you uncovered?
No, never. I don't think they ever would want this information to get before the committee. They don't want that on the congressional record. So no, they've not. I've actually been like, hey, pick me over here. I'll come talk about January 6th. Because if I did, I would just put all of this out there on the record and say, hey, what about these left-wing groups? What about these government employees plotting a coup, plotting a capital disruption action where they literally have a map of the Capitol circled, okay, talking about taking over government buildings. And there were then radical provocateurs and groups that then did take over the government building. Just because somebody's wearing a MAGA hat doesn't mean they're actually a real Trump supporter anyway. I mean, it's been documented that we've seen Antifa cells putting on MAGA hats to then go into the Capitol. We've also seen Antifa cells dressed in black block, smashing through windows, getting in there. We also know for sure that there was John Sullivan, who was a BLM Antifa activist, who went there with his camera girl, Jade Sacker, and admitted on camera in a kind of off-the-cuff statement that they knew that they were going to do this. Yeah, I told you we were going to do this. I couldn't say too much, but yeah, this is what was going to happen. So we know that he had sent out messages all over social media telling all of his Antifa comrades to meet him at the Washington Monument there on the National Mall on January 6th, right before the storming of the Capitol event happened. So the reality is why isn't this being investigated? That's the big question.
Why am
I not seeing more conservative media outlets covering it? And thank you, Pete, for covering it.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly. Well, and you know, they've come after me. They've come after you. They're now poisoning people that are trying to deliver the truth. This has now gotten to the point to where we've discovered through this. Are you following Connect and this Chinese Eugene Yu out of Michigan? Are you following any of that?
Not really. Well, I mean, I've just been so focused and fixated, on this information pertaining to January 6th, because, you know, with the J6 committee now saying that they're going to subpoena President Trump, it's also, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of back chatter around Trump circles and lawyers about an indictment coming towards President Trump. So I've really been just trying to focus on this information, because this information could be key to an affirmative defense for President Trump.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you say that in legal circles. But now we're discovering through this thing that's happening with this this company, through the vote and Greg Phillips, when they were when they did 2000 Mules, they came across information essentially in a nutshell. And I'm going to be talking about this more on Brandon House's show. It's an act of war being perpetrated. They put, and here it is back to the malware, into the voting software system that basically our troops overseas, they download an app, a general casts his vote when he's overseas. And what does it have in it? It has the ability to take all of his data and exfiltrate it. And it was found on Chinese servers. We now have an act of war being perpetrated, cyber warfare, on many different levels. This BlackBerry thing and the remote controls and the people that were dying and of course, the General McChrystal stuff that he's now involved in, influence operations on behalf of the Democrats. You know this. Go look at Shadowgate and take a look at the corporations that are running influence operations to this day. A massive, massive, way beyond a coup d'etat. I think even some members of the military, members of our government. How do we stop this, Millie? I'll give you final commentary here. We have to deliver the truth as we receive it. We have to get people awake. Do you think we can stop this thing? This is a big, big machine, and you've covered many different components of that machine. Do you think there's a way to stop this?
I think that if the American people really value truth, they should share it. They should try to get it out there as far and wide as they can. You know, I'm just shocked at how much just this information has been sequestered. The Sunrise Exposed videos, Zoom videos, are a treasure trove of information. Mm-hmm. I put it all up there publicly, sunriseexposed.com, hoping that the internet, the sleuths out there, would get it and start looking through it and looking up the people's names and information and doing something with this. But I mean, I think the bottom line is it's actually going to take people becoming active, people digging themselves, people trying to get information out. And you know, I just hope that this information in the Sunrise videos will actually be used in more right-wing or conservative media outlets will actually cover it, that would be wonderful, Pete. Wouldn't you say? I mean, we've got this information. You would think, I mean, we have all these left-wing protesters working with left-wing people in the government who actually call themselves comrades, okay?
Yes.
We have the conspiracy on tape. If you ever wanted a video of actual government employees conspiring with the radical Antifa and BLM groups that literally burned down cities like they did with George Floyd, okay, talking about taking over the Capitol, taking over government buildings, mentioning January 6th, I mean, what more could we ask for? We need to spread it. We need to get it out there.
Okay, final note here. What we're up against, you can't even, like the Second Amendment is just almost rendered useless because you cannot shoot the level of tyranny that is deeply infiltrated every single institution, every single pillar of, you know, of our quote unquote democracy or our constitutional republic. So our greatest weapon right now, and this is where I want to call to action every single person right now, that BlackBerry video. I'm telling you how important it is. We just discussed how important it is. Will this kill me? I'm going to send that, put that link in the description. Everybody has a duty to share it because guess what? The bottom line is the information war that we're in right now, the majority of Americans, even if you're on the left side of the political spectrum, you're being used as a minion. You don't know what you're contributing to. But I think the majority of Americans, even those that are participating in this thing, they wake up to the reality. The majority of us won't participate in it. That's the only way that we're going to be able to stop them because it's a small group that's actually making all the moves behind the scenes. Don't you agree?
It is. And we just need more people to get active. But I also think, Pete, it's that a lot of people don't know what to do. They kind of are looking for some kind of direction. And I would say, first and foremost, we need to actually share the information, get it out there. But I know with social media, that's becoming harder and harder.
Yep.
I've been being shadow banned. They've been demonetizing me. I mean, I have apparently almost a 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and hardly anyone of my subscribers get notifications or see my content. So I can't be too upset that people aren't sharing it as much because they're just not seeing it.
That's right.
And that's the problem with all the censorship that's going on when we're relying on their platforms.
Yeah, that's right.
To get information out.
So there's ways to go around. We've built an alternate universe, but that also keeps us separated because I do believe that we need to unite and cross over to the other side of the aisle because there's Democrat family members that we have that don't want this to be taking place. Millie, we'll bring you back on. I want to really, really dig into, especially as they go towards President Trump and attempt to indict him. In the court of public opinion, we need to be able to defend President Trump and present the evidence. And I want to go back and revisit all the work you did with the Sunrise Movement. So we'll bring you back on as things advance here. We're in a, you know, we're in a difficult time, but those that are closer connected to God seem to be coping with it a little bit better, with a little bit less anxiety. So there's a spiritual aspect of what we're dealing with, and you need to wash away the anxiety because we need everybody focused and of course strong in mind, body, and spirit. And I know you're a godly woman. I appreciate the work that you and Gavin are doing. Keep surging on, and I'm so glad that we finally made the connection when we did, because it's a very important time now. Thank you, Millie. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and in light of the recent events, your continued support means everything to myself and my employees. To thank you, we're having the biggest sale ever on all my pillow bedding. Get my pillow bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98. In this economy, instead of buying a new bed, rejuvenate your bed with a My Pillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles, like plush, waffle, or gossamer, for as low as $29.98. We even have pet blankets from small size to the ones for your car. Get huge discounts on duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding, including MyPillow bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping in while quantities last. Please order now.